Blog Talk Radio.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transition. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
This program is brought to you by Josie's Inspiration Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. USA toll-free callers 1-310-742-1858. Again, that's 1-310-742-1858.
My purpose is to praise you. My longing is to worship you. My life desires to live for you. For the mighty things you do, I worship you, 'cause in spite of all my misery and all the things I cannot see, I know I can call you.
Good morning. This is Josie. This is Josie's Inspiration. And this is an opportunity for me once again to come and to fulfill my purpose. And my purpose is to praise God through all things that I have experienced in my life, especially to praise Him, to be a victor through cancer. I love that song so much, and I get so wrapped up in it because as I listen to it, it becomes so clear each time that what I do really isn't about me. But I'm praying that this morning, March 25th, this beautiful Monday morning in spring, is an opportunity that someone listening live or listening on a replay will find their purpose in a diagnosis or in a situation that they are experiencing. When I was first diagnosed with cancer, you know, as most cancer survivors or victors will tell you, it was a roller coaster ride of emotions and feelings and disbelief, almost like what we go through when there is a death in a family or a death of a loved one. That's Lord, not me. All the things that you've asked me to do, I've been doing. There is that bargaining. Lord, if it's not, if you can just take it away, if you can just give me another chance to correct whatever it is that allowed this diagnosis to come into my body, then surely I'll do different. But whether we are in a place of denial or trying to bargain our way through a diagnosis, once it settles in, that word cancer, once it settles in that the word cancer and me are synonymous, then there becomes that period of time that we experience what I'm going to talk about today on this show, which is A to Z Essential Oils for Cancer Care. The Z, A to Z that I'm doing today is D. And I'm going to talk about depression. And as I say the word and as I've read over the past week about what depression is, I realized that I was in denial, that depression was something that I could even embrace as something that I was experiencing as a cancer person, as someone going through the diagnosis. My first diagnosis, I just was very diligent about following the doctor's direction, doing what they told me, and believing that if I did everything that they said, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, you know, that I would come back and I would be just fine and all would be well. And even in the moment of me believing that, there was still that little part in me that questioned whether that was going to be true or not. And that's because my mother died from cancer. That's because friends had died from cancer. That's because everything I had heard about the word cancer was terminal. But I didn't want to believe that I was going to go away, die, fade away, disappear, all the things that, you know, came to mind. I didn't want to believe that my life was going to end as a result of it. So even in the midst of me hearing the diagnosis and the disbelief and the bargaining and the emotional roller coaster that I was experiencing, I had to find hope. And there's always hope in the word of the Lord. I know that there's nothing that He ever puts in my life that I can't deal with. There's nothing that He ever places in my path that I can't, with His support and with His guidance, see my way through. Because I know that the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in straight paths for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, fear no evil. For Thou art with me, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The 23rd Psalm gives me comfort, even in those moments of discouragement, of disappointment, of disbelief, and denial. And so as I talk about depression today and how it affects a cancer patient and my experience, I hope that you will find a scripture or a message that will help you understand that while you're going through something, you can't get stuck. God has a greater purpose for you in that moment. And so my purpose is to praise him, because three-time cancer diagnoses have faded away from existence in my life. And I claim the victory because I know that God has given me my purpose to share my experience through this ministry of Joseph's Inspiration. So let's talk about that D, that big D, depression. So first, before I go further, I want to just give a disclaimer that as I share this information today, I am not a doctor. I am not a psychologist, though I think sometimes that as I pursued that as a medical degree, that maybe I missed my calling, because I clearly understand some aspects that are important as I share the message today. But having said that, I am not a psychologist, nor a psychiatrist, nor a medical doctor. I don't make any claims, and the information that I'm about to share is for informational purpose. I do not discourage a doctor's advice. In fact, everything that I do with the support of my doctors, because they have been placed in my life, I believe, by God. They are God-fearing men and women who know that I trust their medical knowledge, but I trust far more the knowledge and the blessing that God has on my life. So take this information just as it's given and discuss it with your family, friends, and your doctor, and then ask God to show you what he wants you to do with your life situation. Depression. The National Institute of Health, the National Cancer Institute have defined depression as a comorbid disabling syndrome that affects approximately 15 to 25% of cancer patients. Let me read that again. Depression is a comorbid disabling syndrome that affects 15 to 25% of cancer patients. When I first read that, the first thing that caught my eye was comorbid. I'm like, what is comorbid? Because morbid to me means mortality. It means something's awful. But I had looked it up, and comorbid, you know, this is real. This is live. So I'm going to give you just what I got. This is what comes to me. But in medicine, comorbidity is the presence of one or more additional conditions, co-occurring primary condition. And so in this situation, it exists simultaneously with and usually independently of another medical condition, and that additional condition may also be behavioral or a mental disorder. So given cancer as a diagnosis and depression as an outcome, that is an additional condition that the cancer patient must deal with. Now, as I say this, I don't want to say that every single cancer patient is going to have depression. And as I said earlier, until I was really reading, I was in denial that I even had depression, you know, because to me, depression, having studied some psychology and psychiatry when I was in college, depression was a mental disorder. And that initially meant something bad. And if I was already dealing with a diagnosis of cancer, I didn't want to think about some mental disorder that I might be going through. But as I look back on my experiences, I can clearly see that there were severe moments of depression that I experienced during my cancer treatments, diagnosis, and post-cancer. And the reason that I know that, because of the things that could be observed. My sleep patterns were changed. My thought patterns were changed. Everything that was being affected in my life was being changed. I had feelings of sadness. My mood fluctuated from being joyful and hopeful to being low and feeling just so out of sorts that I could not handle it. There was a loss of interest and pleasure and activities that I once enjoyed because I didn't want to go out of my house often because my hair was gone. That little vanity about being bald and not having my hair made me sometimes stay in my house and look out my window. In fact, during one of my cancer diagnoses and treatments, I remember the day that I decided to walk out my door without a wig on, without a head wrap on, but just my bald, beautiful head. And I remember walking out and I saw my neighbor across the street and I just yelled, "Good morning." And it felt good because I had released the shame of the diagnosis. I had released that pettiness about what will people think about me without hair. You know, India Ree has that song, "I Am Not My Hair." Well, for the cancer patient, you know, there's really not an option about keeping your hair often. Usually with chemo and radiation, it's a given that you're going to lose your hair. And so the changes in my activities became huge. But once I was able to release that shame, that fear, that feeling about not having hair, I was able to go outside and sit and go into my garden and to get flowers and to try to do yard work, you know. Even though the doctor said to me, "Don't go out in the sun because the sun combined with the radiation can cause burns to your skin." But if I stayed inside, surely I probably would have had a lot more depression than I did. But with depression also comes the change in appetite, weight loss or gain that has nothing to do with dieting, trouble sleeping or sleeping too much. I don't really remember trouble sleeping in terms of me laying down and not being able to go to sleep, but the coming to my mind as I would try to quiet my mind and sleep, that reminds me of what it was like and what could have been determined to be depression. Because sometimes I didn't want to sleep because of fear that maybe I wouldn't wake up. Or just the fear of what if when I go to sleep, my body does not respond appropriately to being awakened when necessary. There was that loss of energy, increased fatigue. Now, all of these are also side effects of cancer. So depression and cancer together can wreak havoc on the body and on the mind. I remember oftentimes just sitting and writing or sitting and not wanting to talk to anybody or feeling that all was lost because I didn't know what the outcome was going to be. And even though I really don't want to necessarily admit that I was a control freak, I really was. I was used to charting my own path. I worked in corporate, I led organizations, departments, I sat in meetings, I wrote policy, I was navigating my way through being a parent with children in college, I was doing volunteer work, active in my church, so many things that I felt that I had control over in my own way. I knew that without me having those things that gave me what I thought was purpose, what I thought made me valuable, what I considered to be important, Without those things, who would I be? What purpose would I have? What value could I give to someone else? But when God places something in your path that disrupts your control, that disrupts you from thinking that you have it all under control, you have to be still and you have to let go and you have to let God take the wheel. I had to say, Jesus, take the wheel. I can't handle what's going on in my life. And so as I sit now and I think back, there were many moments of sheer depression when I could not function, when I could not talk, when I felt worthless and guilty, when I had difficulty thinking, concentrating, and making decisions, and when the thought of death was real. Not in the sense of me taking my life, but in the sense that my life would end without me fulfilling my purpose. But I sit here today, and I can say that my purpose has always been to serve him. And as I do this call today, and I talk about the oils that are beneficial for depression, again, this is not me trying to give you a way to avoid anything, but to help support you as you go through that diagnosis of cancer. And so three oils that I'm going to talk about today that are so important to me, even now I'm sitting here with my bottles of frankincense, rosemary, and to be at peace. And I know how important this is for me because a mental thing happens when you get a cancer diagnosis. It doesn't just affect your body. It doesn't just affect the loss of hair, but it affects your mental ability to process what your body's going through, as well as process everyday life tasks. And so frankincense, we know from the Bible, we know frankincense. We know that the wise men brought oils for baby Jesus, that those oils provided cleansing and provided things that we now begin to understand a lot more, that is not just about smelling a great oil, but it has some benefits for the emotional balance, and it has some benefits that contribute to my spiritual balance. So when I find myself overwhelmed and my mind is going 1,000 miles a minute, I look to my oil. And frankincense is usually one of the very first oils that I look to. It has amazing qualities. It is an antidepressant. So it is an oil that can alleviate depression. And that's powerful because depression, as I just talked about, overwhelming. It can be very helpful even as I'm going through challenges with breathing because everything is affected in your body. When you're being treated with medications, it affects your breathing, your digestion, your emotional, your skin. And frankincense as a skin additive, adding it into a carrier oil or in my lotion, can help rejuvenate the skin. And it can help with minimizing tumors of sorts. And so having had the 3 cancer diagnosis, when I got a diagnosis with a brain tumor, at that point I knew so much more about the benefit of oils. And so then, and even now, I apply frankincense to the reflexology points of my body that I have concerns for my health. And so even for my skin, I use frankincense and lavender oil as a way to support my skin and to heal my skin when I was going through the chemo and radiation because my skin became dry and cracked. And so frankincense along with lavender was very beneficial. I put frankincense oil on my because the pores there allow it to be absorbed into every part of my body, into my bloodstream, and especially my big toe because reflexology, that is the area for the brain. So frankincense is an oil that helps to calm those depression symptoms. It can help reduce inflammation. It helps fight germs and infections, which we know as a cancer patient, we go through a lot of immune challenges. Our immune system is decreased by the cancer treatments. And so when I'm going into hospitals and when I'm going into places, my immune system isn't prepared to fight the way it normally is because it's been decreased. Its effectiveness is not there because of the treatments. And so frankincense can also help fight germs and infections. The second oil that I'm going to talk about, and I've talked about this oil, I think, probably every call I've done, because oil, rosemary. Rosemary is an oil indicated for a wide range of brain issues. Memory. I talked a couple of weeks ago about brain fog and how rosemary helps me with my memory. It can improve mental clarity, and it's beneficial for the respiratory as well. So rosemary as an oil for depression is good because depression is a mental issue. It affects the brain. It affects the thought process. It can affect the memory. It can affect your fatigue level, and rosemary can help support you when you're going through those challenges. And so just inhaling my rosemary, so even right now as I take the top off of my bottle and I let the fragrance come to me, that rosemary is very calming. And it's good for my immune system, my respiratory, my nervous system. Because when you are depressed, you know, it makes your body feel nervous and anxious because you feel that you've lost control. Rosemary can help you with the emotions of being humble, aware, and strengthen, and help you feel radiant. Just taking the top off of it right now, lift my spirit. And as I talk about these oils, I want to let you know the oils that I use particularly come from a company that I am a distributor for, which is Youngevity International. And I love the company because it is because of Dr. Joel Wallach and his teachings that I learned how to take care of my body through cancer, that I continue to use what's called Nani for Life as a way to support my body in its continued rebuilding and rejuvenating. And so Youngevity has a line of essential oils that were formerly called Ancient Legacy. And those oils and the experience of me using the oils and studying the oils, I'm preparing myself to be certified in aromatherapy and iridology because I have experienced the benefits of essential oils every situation I've ever gone through in my life. And so rosemary, I'm going to put the top right back on you right now because my third oil that I'm going to talk about is actually a blend. It's called To Be at Peace. And this is probably one of my most used oils because in addition to me using To Be at Peace to calm myself and to bring balance into my life, because To Be at Peace has the blends of oils that are so beneficial. It has pink grapefruit. It has sweet orange, which helps balance the thyroid and the lymphatic system. And my cancer diagnosis, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, affects my lymphatic system. It has rose, which is encouraging. It has rosewood, which is antibacterial, antifungal, and anti-infectious. It has tangerine, blue tansy, and ylang ylang, which is another oil that is very good for the brain. And so as I share with you these three oils, frankincense, rosemary, and To Be at Peace, I just want to remind you that your purpose will be revealed to you when you still yourself and when you go to God and you ask Him, Lord, what is the purpose that you have for my life? I know my purpose is to praise you. And so it is that I'll be back in 2 weeks, and I'll talk about the letter E. This is Josie Hopkins, A to Z Essential Oil for Cancer Care, and it's been my joy and pleasure to share with you today. Be blessed.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the Internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transition. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
People who make the right moves, Ewing Moving and Storage.
This program is brought to you by Josie's Inspiration Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. USA toll-free callers 1-310-742-1858. Again, that's 1-310-742-1858.
Hello once again, and thank you for joining me on Rev. Lydia Speaks on the Josie's Inspiration Network. I'm so glad you chose to join me today. I want to talk to you about trusting the process of life. To say I trust the process of life is fine, and it's easy to say when everything is going well. But how can you honestly say that when your life is seemingly turned upside down? Like maybe you don't have a job, you have sickness in your body, maybe you don't have enough food or enough money. But remember, it is during these times that you find the real truth of who you are. Life can be a little bit like turning a grab bag upside down and allowing the contents to empty out. Only then can you sort things out and choose to keep the most important stuff. And you're sometimes confronted with things that you really don't like. Every now and then, a minor shakeup may not be such a bad idea, because it does allow us to take time to explore the lives we live as though we're on a treadmill. You know what I mean? Just walking fast, doing the same thing every day, day in and day out, and going absolutely nowhere. People call this the rat race. It's just do-centered. We live in a do-centered environment where a lot of times if you're not just constantly in motion, you feel, and people may see you, as not doing anything, not accomplishing anything. The Rasta call this the do-do. And all it means is that all the stuff that we busy ourselves with that don't amount to anything has nothing to do with the growth of you as a person or your growth of your soul. It's just stuff that you do to fill up time during the day so that at the end of that day you can look back and somehow feel as if you have accomplished something. But it's really important at times like this to just take time to explore why you feel like you have to be on a treadmill. And in order to find out what's truly necessary and meaningful in life, you have to take time. Even in the midst of chaos, if we take time to look at things from a higher perspective, might even see the blessing that's in the challenge. And if we're wise enough, we can learn more about the soul who looks out at the world through the eyes that we have become accustomed to seeing in the mirror. And when you look at yourself in the mirror, do you love this soul? Do you like what you see? Or are you like so many people that say they don't like to look at themselves in the mirror? The things that you don't like are the things you might need to do to grow. And it's not easy to stretch beyond your comfort zone, but it's when you take the time to study objectively what makes you you. It's when you can then offer yourself counsel from that objectivity and find your true strength. Because you never know how capable you are until you're facing something that you don't like. This is a process, this learning to love and respect yourself, because it's teaching people how to treat you. You realize that you're studying yourself, that you have already come through so many things. And quite possibly, the older you are, the more things you've been through. And this speaks to your character and your resilience, but you really have to be sure to remember that you didn't do anything alone. You had help from the spirit who was and is still there deep inside, waiting to be called on, because during your time of doing and not being, you push this still small voice to the back. This is when your trust in the process of life comes in. Because during times of trial, when you have done everything that you can possibly think of to do, all you have left to do is to just rest. Rest in the lap of the I Am and release your hold on the little I of yourself and wanting to do everything yourself so people can say how strong you were. It may even seem as though that the process is taking so long, and it makes, at this point, it makes you anxious and afraid. And you might even want to take the problem back from God and try to do something else for yourself, but every time you do that, realize that you're setting the process of you getting your gifts back, and you don't even know how far back. You have to have patience. Remember, God has a plan, and all of this is to help you find out your strength and your purpose. Did you know that after a butterfly goes through its metamorphic change, it just hangs there for up to 4 hours, the bigger the butterfly, the longer, because it's waiting for the blood to fill up in its wings. I call that waiting for the power of God. It's stuck there. It's just stuck between crawling like a worm and soaring into its new life. And this is a very dangerous time, because if a bird or some other predator decides to come, this is when the devourer could really eat the butterfly. It can't move. And so it is when we feel stuck, except we have protection from that devourer. This is the opportunity to realize that God is giving us time to strengthen and reconnect with Him, to grow our faith, because He's about to let us soar into a great new future. If we use this time to pray, believe, and plan, and trust the process of life, just trust the process of God. When the Israelites were first freed from Egypt, and in their release, they had to cross the wilderness. We're like that. This is your valley, and valleys have no respect of time. But you can stop your valley whenever you want to. See, the Israelites walked around for 40 years, and why? It's because in the midst of you trusting and believing, you also have to make sure that you do what you're supposed to do. And there are directions. They didn't do what they were supposed to do. And God waited until all of the insolent ones that generation had to offer were died. They died out. And then He could work with the new ones. He could work with the younger ones. And He could let them go into the promise that He had for them. Don't waste this time. Instead, use this time to draw close to your God self. Now, you may not know what to do, but something inside of you knows. If you give it over to that space, that divine spark, and watch what happens, just trust and believe and shut down the worry. In Ephesians 3, 16 and 18, it says, stretch yourself in your inner man. Believe in the growth of your life because of this newfound, newly activated faith. You'll be given answers that you know didn't come from you. That's how you know it's God. Relax and enjoy this ride, because when you release all to the divine mind of God, you can relate everything to the history of all the past blessings. If He did it before, He'll do it again. God has a searchable track record, and it's called the Bible. And anywhere you turn in it, you can clearly see that God has a plan to reset your life, and all you have to do is follow directions. Everyone knows the story of Joshua and how he won the Battle of Jericho. God had Joshua to walk around this city, and they walked around the wall for 7 days. And on the last day, He had them to blow their ram's horns. And when they did, the wall just simply fell down. Joshua didn't have to fight. He didn't have to throw one blow. All he had to do was wait on the Lord. And when he did, he could just walk in and take all of the spoils he wanted and conquer that city. But now the same Joshua and the same God and the same promise, you have to be very careful of who you take with you when you're coming up through God. Joshua had one man, Achan, who when they got to Ai, he was supposed to do the same thing, touch nothing, just go in and conquer, but take nothing for yourself. Everything was consecrated to go to God. Well, he decided he was going to steal something, a beautiful robe, some silver, some gold, and he hid it in the very tent right in the middle of his people. And they lost that war. Joshua went to God. He said, look, we won this gigantic war. We defeated Jericho. Why would you bring us all this way and just simply let us be defeated by little bitty Ai? And God said, check your kinsmen. His directions were to touch nothing, and you could have everything. But this man just saw something that he really wanted to have for himself. Not only did he take it, but he buried it in the tent right in the midst of all the believers. It didn't bode too well for him, because God's instructions were to take the man and his entire family and everything he owned, stone them, and burn them. So that didn't work out too well for him, but it didn't work out too well for Joshua, because you really have to watch who you're kin with. When God is trying to bless you, sometimes being with the wrong person can block your blessing. The only thing that you have to do is trust, and sometimes we can't even do that. It's amazing to me how God will reward and protect his people for just trusting in him. In 2 Chronicles, King Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat was totally surrounded by enemies, not just one army, multiple armies. Now, any good general would have just sent out his best warriors. But Jehoshaphat decided that he was going to go into the middle of all of his people, stand there, talk to God, remind God of what he said he could do for him, and explain that this is what he expected. He was humble, but he was bold. And God decided, okay, Jehoshaphat, because you believe and trust, I want you to just go to the top of the hill and stand. Don't fight. Just stand and praise. So instead of sending out his warriors, Jehoshaphat sent out his best worshipers. Now, if that's not the front line of defense, I don't know what is. I would just as soon have somebody that can stand in the gap and worship and pray for me as to have somebody who knew how to fight. He sent out his worshipers. And that reminds me of be still and know that I am God. The first two words tell you exactly what to do. Be still. Now, you may not be surrounded by people trying to kill you, but when you're assaulted in your health, your relationships, your finances, it can feel just as traumatic. Being still and trusting in the process of God, and that's kind of hard, especially when you're the one that you may seem to be responsible for everybody else. You might be the head of your family. And to just say, I'm trusting in God and not working and doing and being, it's hard to do, especially if you're used to doing it. But the opposite of faith is fear. Don't let your fear break up your relationship with God. Don't let it take you out of your relationship. Fear is the opposite of faith. And God didn't give us a spirit of fear. And the enemy of fear is time. Not man's time, God's divine timing, which is always perfect. And it may look like nothing is changing, but God works from the inside out. So there is movement. He's just setting you up for your breakthrough. And if you follow his directions, it doesn't take long at all. There are steps that we need to take when we're trying to reconnect with the God of us and bring our trust back, because trust can easily be broken, not between God and man, but between man and his perception of the time God should operate in, as if we could really tell God what to do. But the first thing we need to do when we feel our trust and stuff going is just go to God and together talk over your problems. And you may just find out that where you went wrong in the first place, because if you trace your steps back, you can say, that's what I didn't do. I didn't tithe. I didn't trust. I held back from God. Would a man rob God? And then your second step would be to repent. Now, this is just another way of saying change your mind. When you change your mind, you change the trajectory in which your life is going. When you change your mind, you change your thought patterns. All you have to do is look in the Bible for that. Look at Jonah. Jonah thought, for some reason, that when God told him to go to Nineveh, that he had a choice. And he didn't think that that fit into what he wanted to do that day. So Jonah just decided to go in the opposite direction and take a boat. He didn't like the people in Nineveh. He knew they weren't going to listen to him. And he was, quite frankly, a little bit afraid. And when he got into that boat, God showed him exactly who was boss. He troubled the waters until Jonah had to come clean with the people in the boat, and they threw him overboard. And when they did, God caused the whale to swallow Jonah. Now, if that doesn't get your attention and change your mind, I don't know what does. As soon as he decided to call out to God and repent and be sorry, the fish spit him out. That was a change. When the fish released him, he went straight to Nineveh and did what he was supposed to do. We don't know why God operates like he does, but there is always a reason. And if we but trust the process of life that's set before us, it would be so much easier. When you think about the fact that you are not alone, that you have the God that created everything on your side, and not only that, he created everything. He created everything for you. So he wants you to have the best of everything. He created everything first before he put you in the midst of it. Man was made to succeed. And doesn't it feel good to know that we're not by ourselves and we can relax in the promise of God? God is not a man that he can lie. God doesn't just make idle promises. And it's even easier if we do what he told us to do. Listen to that still small voice. That still small voice is Spirit speaking to you. And if God put it in your heart, he's going to give you a way to do it. It's as simple as that. Who wouldn't serve a God like this? Not only tells you what he wants you to do, but gives you the wherewithal to do it. Release all of your troubles to him and relate to all the blessings that are ours for the taking. God gives you everything that you desire, everything you need, yes, but more than that, everything that you desire. Even when he says, not right now, that could be a blessing. Sometimes we have to wait. And it's those times when we need to be patient. Practice your patience. Know that the God of you is ready. Let that still small voice and that power come through. Stop pushing your own agenda. Sometimes we men decide that we know best. And God, we'll talk to you about that later. Right now, you're not understanding. I need money for bills. I need this, that, and the other for my family. I need whatever it is that we think we need. And God is saying, stay still, child. I got you. There is nothing you need that I have not already prepared for. This didn't take him by surprise. God always knows what's about to happen. He also always knows that the blessing that he has for you is right there. Just reach out and touch. Try to grab. I was taught as a child never to give up. When you really are sick and tired of being sick and tired, push just one more time because you're right at the verge of your blessing. And sometimes I believe God just wants to see if you really will push through to the end. He needs to know that he can bless his people that are in good standing with taking care of the small things. Being a steward in the small things can get you greater things. After all, how can I trust you with more when you're not even taking care of that which I gave you to start with? We prove ourselves by just being grateful. Gratitude is the thing that will get you over every time. God says, you're grateful? Let me give you something to really be grateful for, and he can bless your socks off. I've had it happen, and I've seen it happen. When we get a chance to sit down, just sit down and talk to God. Tell him exactly what's been going on in your life. He already knows. But he longs for relationship with his people. Conversation is part of relationship. And conversation doesn't just mean you asking for things. It means you listening for the answer. It means you connecting with that celestial hug that God just gives you when he just overpowers you with love. Enjoy that time. Know that that time is necessary. I try to find as much time for those times as I can. I want to be in that presence at all times. It's not easy in this world today, but I really want to be in that space. It makes life a lot easier if you trust the process of life. I want you to be blessed, release all to God, and enjoy your life. Until next time, thank you for joining me, and have a blessed day.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.